9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The U.S. hits pause on a weapon shipment to Israel. Plus, Bud Light boycotts continue to drag U.S. sales for brewer AB InBev. And your AI clone is here, and companies are ready to put it to work.
The idea of digital twins is sort of an old idea. It comes from when factories basically wanted to create digital twins of their machines to diagnose problems in those machines or predict how they would run. And now we're seeing it applied to humans.
It's Wednesday, May 8th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The Biden administration has paused a shipment of bombs for Israel in the first formal rebuke of its top Middle East ally as it mounts new operations in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. According to a senior administration official, the U.S. review of the weapon shipment began last month out of concern that the bombs might be used in Rafah, concerns that as of this week, Israel hadn't fully addressed. The pause of the weapons delivery comes amid mounting criticism over the death toll and destruction within Gaza caused by U.S.-provided weapons, and amid warnings from Washington that Israel not mount a major Rafah offensive. Speaking yesterday, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said Israel had described its operations in Rafah this week as limited, but that the U.S. would make its own assessment.
We've heard that, and we're watching. We're monitoring. We don't want to see a major ground operation in Rafah, certainly none that hasn't fully and appropriately taken in the need to secure the safety of the 1.5 million people that are seeking refuge here.
The office of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. Separately, CIA Director William Burns is due to meet with Netanyahu today as efforts to secure a Gaza ceasefire continue. Burns yesterday took part in talks in Egypt that featured an Israeli delegation and Hamas officials. A federal judge in Florida has indefinitely delayed former President Donald Trump's trial on charges that he mishandled classified documents. The trial had been due to begin later this month, though both sides were anticipating that the start date would slip. That welcome legal news for Trump came after a day of salacious testimony by adult film actress Stormy Daniels in a separate trial in New York, in which prosecutors alleged that Trump falsified business records to conceal a payment to Daniels after an alleged tryst. The cross-examination of Daniels is set to continue today. Trump has denied the affair and any wrongdoing in the New York case. And House Speaker Mike Johnson appears to have dodged a vote on his removal for now after a second meeting in consecutive days with dissident Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. The Georgia Republican has laid out a list of demands for Johnson, but says she's still wavering on whether to force a vote to remove him as Speaker, something she has threatened to do since March, accusing him of siding with Democrats on spending bills and funding for Ukraine. That follows blowback from a number of Republicans and former President Trump who have been supportive of Johnson. Before Tuesday's meeting, Johnson said he listens to everybody's ideas equally and that the talks were not a negotiation. Coming up, earnings updates from Toyota and Bud Light brewer AB InBev and how businesses are already using AI-generated copies of us in their work and plan to substantially grow that digital population in the years to come. Those stories and more after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
AI is here, and it's coming to make a copy of you. Across a range of industries, artificial intelligence systems are now being used to create digital twins of humans that could then do the jobs of everyone from fashion models to focus group members and even clinical trial participants. Journal reporter Isabel Bousquet covers AI and has been learning more about this technology. Technology which, Isabel, I honestly don't know what to make of. By the sounds of it, I'm either scared, inspired. What are we talking about here? How does this tech work exactly?
It's really bizarre. You're right. Essentially, the way generative AI works is it just takes in a bunch of information about real people. So taking in visuals of what they look like, or taking in information about their shopping habits, information about their health, and then using it to predict what they might look like wearing a particular item of clothing, or how they might answer a particular question in a focus group.
Yeah, you also write about digital twins being used in clinical trials. Tell me how that would work. It seems like this is a field where the human being is pretty indispensable. What is the argument for using AI here?
Yeah, so the human is definitely a really key part of this. The idea is that in clinical trials, you typically have two groups. One group receives an experimental drug and you sort of monitor how they respond to that drug. And another group is the placebo group. And that's just used to monitor how that disease would normally progress over time without the experimental drug. And the idea is that if you were to use AI to predict how someone's disease would progress, then you wouldn't have to put an actual person who has an actual disease into the placebo group. You could put them into the experimental drug group and they would potentially get access to that life-saving treatment, which is sort of the main reason people want to be in clinical trials.
All right, so that seems to be good news, though I look at some of these other industries touched by this, and I'm legitimately wondering whether this technology could in many ways render humans useless.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a question that should be asked. If a fashion company chooses to go down the route of using AI to generate photos, they're saving a lot of money and a lot of time not having to go through the entire process of setting up that photo shoot and all the production people that are involved in that. That said, I think today companies are at the point where they're more looking to use this to supplement existing photo shoots. I think for them, it's a really good way to scale. They can generate more images than they ever could before, and they can do it without the cost of involving all these human people.
And Isabel, I have to ask, if we're already seeing the potential for this much change in the labor market as a result of this very young technology, is it clear where we might get to in the future? Is this something analysts are looking at?
Yeah, this idea of digital twins is definitely something that's being studied. So Gartner, which is a consulting firm, has been looking at this idea that companies might in the future have a digital twin of every single one of their customers and use it to sort of do precision marketing and predict the shopping habits of every single customer on an individual level. Something like that, they're estimating, is several years away, 5 to 10 years away. And there are definitely a lot of challenges before we get there. The technology itself is not perfect. Bias is still a big issue, especially as we're talking about human behavior. But yeah, it's definitely something companies are looking into.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Isabel Bousquet. Isabel, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Japanese car maker Toyota has seen net profit increase 80% from a year earlier in the 3 months to April and announced a share buyback. The bumper earnings are a significant beat on analyst projections, and as reporter Kosaku Narioka explains, the results are in part thanks to a weaker yen, making its hybrid vehicles cheaper to buy in overseas markets.
Toyota actually has been resisting to the calls for going fully electric. So they've been sticking to, you know, hybrid vehicles. And now they are finally getting that benefit. It appears in the US and other markets, more car buyers are choosing hybrid vehicles as opposed to fully electric vehicles.
Meanwhile, Elon Musk is sending a top Tesla executive to China amid slowing sales in the country. Tom Zhu, one of just three senior executives at Tesla, is getting deployed from the company's Texas headquarters in a bid to try and fix its struggling business in the world's biggest electric vehicle market. In April, Tesla's sales in China dropped by 18% compared with a year earlier, while its Chinese rivals reported higher sales as the country's EV market rebounded from a slow start to the year. The maker of Bud Light, AB InBev, has reported a more than 9% drop in U.S. revenue as it continues to see struggling sales in the region since a partnership with a transgender social media star last year sparked a consumer boycott of Bud Light and other brands. That said, the world's largest brewer said overall volumes for the quarter decreased just 0.6%, beating analysts' forecasts and marking an improvement on the previous quarter. And while U.S. consumer prices rose 3.5% in March, down from 5% a year earlier, you wouldn't be wrong to suspect that something else is making everyday purchases more expensive. Well, that's because retail analysts say that more companies are adding secondary fees onto list prices. Think a $5 mandatory hair washing fee on top of the cost of a haircut, or a $4 fee to pick up an envelope from a mailroom on top of the cost of postage. Business owners say the fees help to cover costs and show customers where their money is going, though advocates like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau say the practice lets businesses charge more than what the market would let them get away with in the sticker price. Journal reporter Rachel Wolf said the tactic is now so common that it's gotten the attention of President Biden, whose administration estimates that Americans pay more than $90 billion a year in what he's dubbed junk fees.
President Biden has made this part of his administrative agenda. There are also some states that are looking into this more. New York recently mandated that restaurants have to be more upfront about the fees that diners will face. California also recently ruled that the state's hidden fee ban applied to restaurants. Illinois has its own legislation in the works. But as it stands, these fees aren't going away anytime soon.
And speaking of the food that you eat, Ozempic and other drugs like it have been revolutionary for weight loss, though they are also sparking big changes in many other industries from food to medicine. And we want to know what questions you have about what those drugs could mean for how we eat, how we shop, and how we stay healthy. Send a voice memo to WNPOD at WSJ.com or leave a voicemail with your name and location at 212-416-4328, and you might just hear it on the pod. And that is What's News for Wednesday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant and Daniel Bach. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show, and until then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.